This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Ezra Zayed, and this evening we will be debating the refugees on boat situation. Now, a few weeks ago, a boat carrying just over 1,000 Rohingya and Bangladeshi refugees from Myanmar landed illegally on the shores of Langkawi. A few days later, more boats followed but were kept on Malaysian and Indonesian high seas, with provisions provided by both countries before sending them away to drift. Malaysia's argument was that we needed to tighten border control, and in doing so, we had to send a strong message out that we would not accept any illegal migrants in. Malaysia has had a long history with migrants, stemming back from the 70s in the aftermath of the Vietnam War. Sending these refugees away was one sign that we would put a stop to entertaining illegal migrants looking to make a living here. But some Malaysians, together with strong opposition internationally, disagreed, questioning Malaysia's compassion in a humanitarian crisis as huge as this. With an estimated 6,000 to 7,000 refugees still adrift at sea at the time, Malaysia was under pressure to react. And together with Indonesia, we did it in the end. It was announced that late last week, both countries will provide humanitarian assistance, provided that the international community takes steps to repatriate them in a year. But let's go back to the week before that announcement, when we left those boats out at sea to drift. Were we right to turn these refugees away, or should we have offered humanitarian help immediately? That's what will be debated today with two debating representatives from the Malaysian Institute of Debating and Public Speaking. We have with us today Deborah Wong and Kelvin Manuel Pillai. Now, folks, before we start, let's get to know our two debaters. Let's start with you, Deborah, and then we'll get to you, Kelvin. Deborah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Deborah. I'm studying linguistics in University of Malaya. So a lot of people wonder what linguistics actually entail, like how literature is about the art of language. Linguistics is about the science of it. I've been debating since the end of 2012, so that's about 3 years. I've started debating because I like arguments and I like being on the stage. I like the spotlight. I like attention. And debating gives me a lot of opportunity. And I don't regret it at all because I'm forced to read a lot of stuff and to expand my horizons, to always scrutinize my opinions. So I really love debating.
Hi, my name is Kelvin. I'm currently doing my A-levels in KDU University College. I've been debating for about 4 years now, since high school. Most of my debating was done in high school and some in college. The reason why I really like debating is because as a person, I have lots of opinions on many things. And the ability to formulate those opinions and defend those opinions with structure is something that I really value. And I'm happy debating has given me that ability to do so. Yeah.
All right, now that we know a little about Deborah and Kelvin, let's lay down the ground rules. Each debater will have a set amount of time to argue their case. A bell will go off at the end of the said time, leaving our debaters just enough time to wrap up their arguments. We'll first start with Kelvin, who is for the argument of turning away the Rohingya refugees stranded on Malaysian waters. But first, a quick break. We'll be back on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the evening edition. I'm Ezra Zayed. We have two debaters debating the plight of the Rohingya and Bangladeshi refugees from Myanmar who were stranded on Malaysian and Indonesian waters, initially turned away by both countries. Kelvin now takes the studio, presenting his arguments about why it was right to turn these refugees away.
Okay, my name is Kelvin. I'm currently going to defend the point that we should send the Rohingyas back to where they came from in Myanmar. And what is my official stance on this? Firstly, I'm all for the Rohingyas. I think they deserve the best. They deserve every right that every other human being has access to as well. I think as a human being, as a Rohingya, you deserve that. But my stance in this debate is probably that we should, in order to facilitate the process of giving them maximum amount of rights, probably send them back to Myanmar. So it would be advisable, or it would be ideal, that if we do that, we should probably give them supplies in terms of food and water and things for the journey. And probably Malaysia in this instance should also give facilitate a secure process back to the country. Like, it's not really a safe route through the Andaman Sea or, you know, the Indian Ocean for not professional sailors. These are individuals, everyday individuals, who have to travel through oceans in order to get to a country that they think they will find safety in. And if necessary, I think people who are really sick, people who need some kind of rest or time to recuperate, I think Malaysia should probably hold them, give them accommodation or accommodate them temporarily before sending them back to Myanmar, right? Malaysia is not a evil country. We've done a lot for the Rohingyas. We've housed over 45,000 Rohingyas over the years. But I think at the end of the day, what's best for the Rohingya people, and in order to diplomatically pressure Myanmar to make changes that's for the betterment of the Rohingya people, we need to make sure that the Rohingya people stay from where they came from. I think Malaysia should probably approach different alternative methods in trying to give the best for Rohingyas. For example, economic sanctions on Myanmar, perhaps freezing the assets of important officials within Myanmar, like the president, or do things like what the Australian government is doing, like giving aid directly to the Rakhine state where most of these Rohingyas are from. I think Australia is giving about $6 million in aid to the Rakhine state. Tony Abbott has promised to do so. And like, perhaps now Myanmar is in a more comfortable position to do what they're currently doing, and we shouldn't allow that to happen. Like, the United States has steadily and slowly removed sanctions over Myanmar ever since they started becoming more democratic in 2011. And I think the government has become very complacent, and we shouldn't allow that to happen. I think the biggest issue when it comes to accepting the Rohingyas when they come to our shores is precedence, right? Sometimes the immediate moral thing to do isn't necessarily the most moral decision that can be made at that point of time. I think what we essentially do when we accept Rohingyas is that we encourage more people to get on boats, dangerous boats, and travel across dangerous oceans through the Andaman Seas, the Malacca Straits, the Indian Oceans, and sometimes even up to Australia in order to get to these countries. And more often than not, we see individuals not making it safely. Rohingyas are put into these positions of danger because they can't navigate through the waters. They're constantly threatened by pirates, individuals who are looking to smuggle them. I think we call them smugglers, people smugglers, who are everywhere, right? Some of these people smugglers even provide the boat services to bring these Rohingyas over to countries like Malaysia, Thailand, and Indonesia. So by accepting these Rohingyas into our country, we're giving them confidence in going into these boats and throwing themselves into danger in these oceans where only few make it past. And we don't know how many more there are just stranded in the middle of the Indian Ocean. There are also reports that there are up to 2,000 migrants who are currently stranded in the Bay of Bengal, who risk also falling into the hands of people smugglers. And we know that this is an issue, right? Like, over 3,000 people have been abandoned in the middle of the ocean when Thailand announced that they want to crack down on these people smugglers because they decided to just abandon the boats that they brought the Rohingyas in. We've heard about the immigrant death camps in the borders between Thailand and Malaysia. Like, these are things that are happening to the Rohingya individuals because they think that they can find a better access through the waters into other countries. And no, that's a very dangerous thing to do. I think we are lying to ourselves by thinking that accepting these refugees is the solution to the crisis, right? Because it really isn't. More often than not, like, other Southeast Asian countries are getting more of the brunt of the blame as opposed to Myanmar itself, who goes sometimes off the hook just because they deny they have nothing to do with the Rohingya crisis when they actually have everything to do with the Rohingya crisis. They've not given them a national identity. They haven't given them official papers to be recognized as a person of Myanmar. These are all things that make it difficult for Rohingyas to live within Burma. And another problem is ASEAN has always turned a blind eye to the human rights crisis that happens in Myanmar, right? I think Malaysia, being the current ASEAN chair and also a member of the UNSC panel, should probably initiate diplomatic pressure on Myanmar, who continue to deny their involvement in this crisis, which I think is just grossly unfair. Like, I think probably accepting the fact that accepting Rohingyas into your country just distracts people from the root cause of the problem and would be the easier option for politicians to take because it's not necessarily the best options. Politicians who are looking for a quick fix when it comes to people complaining about Rohingyas coming to our shores are probably just going to take the quick fix of accepting them immediately, but not necessarily looking towards the root cause of the problem, which is the Myanmarese government suppressing the Rohingya people. Like, we can't possibly relocate 800,000 Rohingyas in Myanmar because their government is irresponsible, right? What we need to do is, this is the homeland of the Rohingyas. A lot of them claim to be originally from the Rakhine State. A lot of them have their homes in the Rakhine State, want a national identity within the Rakhine State in Myanmar. And we should fight for that instead of falling to the pressure that is being placed on them by the Burmese government and sending them off to other countries. Like, that's a cowardly maneuver, I would say. Like, because for most of them, it is their homeland and they claim to have resided in it for a very, very long time. So focus should be on improving their lives over there instead of allowing them to go to other countries and live a marginalized life like somewhere else. I think that's a lot more dangerous for the people of for the Rohingyas from Myanmar. I think also to a certain extent, accepting them would make Malaysia seem like they're helping the Myanmarese government get rid of the Rohingya problems. All right, you can't see the air quotations in radio. But they are also largely silent. Like, the Myanmarese government are being largely silent about it. So I think Malaysia should look towards more long-term policies of trying to solve the Rohingya problem. And just accepting them in the short term isn't really going to do it.
Thank you for that, Calvin. Now, after the news, we hear what Deborah has to say in opposing Calvin's views. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. It's the Evening Edition. I'm Ezra Zayed, and this evening we'll be listening to the debates regarding the recent humanitarian crisis where thousands of Rohingya and Bangladeshi migrants were left stranded on high seas. Both Malaysia and Indonesia first turned them away, sparking anger both locally and internationally about our lack of compassion. But the Malaysian government said they needed to put a stop to people invading Malaysian borders. This evening we have two speakers from the Malaysian Institute of Debating and Public Speaking. We heard Calvin before the news, who argued his points about why Malaysia was right in turning away these refugees. Now we'll hear from Deborah, who will rebut his claims.
Hi, I'm Deborah, and I'm for taking in the Rohingyas and that Malaysia should house them and host them, at least for the temporary or until we can ensure their safety. So before I go into my own arguments, I want to engage with some of the things that Calvin has said. So firstly, I think Calvin talked about the best solution for the Rohingyas is to send them back to Myanmar, and supposedly that's the best for them because you know, they get better service or better shelter. But I think we really should send them to, if we have to send them away after we house them temporarily, we have to send them to anywhere but back to Myanmar, because the reality is these are the exact group of people that has been oppressed by the Myanmar government or just the society in general, and they have been oppressed for many, many years, and that's the exact reason why they had to flee in the first place. So sending them back doesn't seem like a feasible or workable solution. And another problem is that if we accept them, would we be encouraging more people to put their lives on the line by going onto boats of human traffickers and smugglers? I think we have to look at how these people come to the decision of wanting to flee. I think the conditions in which they are living in their home country, is already very, very bad. I don't think it can possibly get any more worse, right? Like, very bad living conditions, constant persecution from the government and the society. So just because some country starts to accept them doesn't mean there's going to be a lot more of them fleeing, because most of these people are already pushed to the point where they have nothing to lose anyway. Most of them know that there is a risk that if they leave the country, if they go onto these boats, they might not ever return or might not ever see land again. So I think just because some countries or Malaysia choose to accept them, it won't really exacerbate the problem. And also, the fact that Malaysia has been housing 45,000 or hosting them, 45,000 of these Rohingyas over the past years, means that I think we have that capability, we have that capacity to take them more, even though there are about 7,000-8,000 out there. It might be difficult for them, for us to provide them the basic necessities like clean food, water, and shelter, but I think it's feasible. Like, we're already housing some of them in a place in Langkawi, so it's just a matter of political will, whether we want to do it or not. So I think why we should take them in, firstly, it's a matter of morality and our principles. If you look at the conditions that these people are living in on the boats, they've been floating on sea for weeks. There's no clean food, no water, no medication. It's overcrowded. Hygiene is non-existent. So if anything the possible disease that can happen, right? Like cholera, malaria, all these things that can happen because you don't have access to clean water and food. If there's anything contagious that breaks out, the first people that will be affected will be the weakest people, like the old people or the children. And we think, like, just to imagine that Malaysia is willing to stand by and just let these things happen to the people is really makes me feel very uncomfortable. So I want to argue that even if Malaysia, at the end, if we have to go at a loss, if we have to give up more than we are capable of, we still have to take them in because human life is not really something that can be quantified by money. Secondly, I also think it will be a really good thing for the image of Malaysia. Like, in the last year, our country and the name of our country has been constantly associated with many bad things and many bad news, and it hasn't been a good year. I think 2015 can be a year of redemption when we are the new chair of ASEAN and we're also newly appointed onto as non-permanent member on the United Nations Security Council. When we are able to show the world that with all these new responsibilities, we're able to take a stance and take on a bigger sense of morality and take these people in, I think that's a really good PR stance for Malaysia to take. Especially if you look at, like, initially when this crisis happened, the Malaysian government very vehemently denied to take in any of these refugees. And we refused to engage in search and rescue operations initially. But last week, our Prime Minister ordered the Royal Malaysian Navy and Malaysian Maritime Enforcement to start to rescue and search these refugees and take them in. So I think why we should have taken them in the first place and not wait until the international pressure comes in is that if we do it later, after all the condemnation, after all this pressure, it seems like we're not doing it because we believe in morals, we're not doing it because we believe in human rights, but it seems as if we're simply caving in to pressure. I mean, I'm sure the government is doing it out of goodwill. I'm sure it's out of, very pure motives, but it doesn't look good on the country. And I think especially when this country constantly talks about good values, our Eastern values that are uncorrupted by the hedonistic cultures of the West, or when we pride ourselves with our Islamic values of peace, of compassion, I think this is the point where we can really demonstrate that we can walk the talk, that we're not just people who say that we care or who pride ourselves and boast about our values but do nothing when the situation actually calls for us to do something. So I believe when we can take in these Rohingya refugees or asylum seekers, it really allows us to express solidarity with the persecuted Muslims, these Rohingyas, right? And I think amidst the context of what's happening in the world, when you see the name of a beautiful religion or of Islam being tainted by things, by organizations such as ISIS and extremist groups, this is the time when Malaysia can show that a Muslim majority country as us is able to show compassion and is able to do the right thing. And most importantly, I think Malaysia is one of the most capable countries among the Southeast Asian nations to house these refugees in providing the facilities or the land mass. Singapore is rich, but they don't have the land. Thailand and Indonesia may have the land, but the economy is probably not as robust or not as capable as us to provide the protection that we can. The cost is really not that high, and I think for all the good things that we have said, we should really walk the talk.
All right, and when we come back, Deborah and Calvin make their closing arguments, and you, the listeners, can tweet in at BFM Radio or text us at 016-201-9000 to let us know who you think won the debate. Keep it here on BFM 89.9. It's the evening edition, and we've come to the conclusion of our debate this evening about the plight of the Rohingya refugees who were trapped on boats on Malaysian waters, and if Malaysia was right in turning them away, or should we have provided them shelter? We have two speakers from the Malaysian Institute of Debate and Public Speaking. Deborah and Calvin will now make their closing arguments. Calvin, we'll start with you first, and then Deborah.
I agree that as the Malaysian government, a developing economy, probably at the higher end of the developing economy countries, can support the Rohingyas in terms of finance, and in probably in terms of land space as well. But the question then becomes, is that the best decision to make for the Rohingyas? I wouldn't think so, because first, I think even if we do have the finance in order to support them, I think that finance can be used elsewhere in terms of supporting the Rohingyas as well. So like, just like how the Australian government is doing it, they're not, like Tony Abbott's government is not accepting their Rohingyas into their country, but what they're doing is giving millions and millions of dollars in aid to the Rakhine state itself. So in terms of having money, and if funds exist, if we have the funds allocated to resolve the issue, I think these funds should specifically be used in order to help the Rohingyas in Myanmar itself, because that's their homeland, right? If they're not getting access to healthcare, proper waters, proper sanitation, they're placed in camps and not allowed to go out of their camp areas to find jobs. These are all things or harms that can be mitigated with this extra aid that we give them over there. And we can't assure that these things become better in terms of getting jobs, in terms of having a good quality of life. We can't assure that these things become better if they come into Malaysia, right? Because these people don't have an identity. They don't have pieces of paper that can help them integrate into society or assimilate into society. I think if the pressure is coming, in conclusion, I think the funds will be better used if we assist them over there instead. But secondly, if the Rohingya, the diaspora of the Rohingyas is probably a result of pressure from the Burmese government, which shouldn't be happening in the first place, right? A lot of Burmese politicians are largely silent on this matter or choose to be indifferent because a lot of the Myanmarese Buddhist people and people from Rakhine, don't really like the Rohingyas for some strange reason. And I think a lot of politicians are trying to pander to that viewpoint and therefore are not taking any opinions on this. That's why you've seen the silence of people like Aung San Suu Kyi. And that isn't the right thing that should be happening. And governments should be pressuring these individuals in order to making a stance that's more humane, that supports human rights, right? We should instead pressure them to allow Rohingyas to reside in their homeland peacefully and with equal rights, because that's essentially where they come from and they have the right to be there. If we continue to accept them, if we continue to encourage them to go onto boats, risk their lives, getting smuggled or even dying or drowning in the ocean because they don't know how to navigate themselves to specific countries, then we're just letting the Burmese government win, letting them do away with the Rohingya problem that they are supposed to be dealing with, which we are supposed to pressure them to deal with, right? In that sense, I think we need to do a lot more in order to pressure them instead of just accepting them. I think they can live a lot better lives if they were in Myanmar and we give them funds to live that life in Myanmar.
This is definitely a very tough choice to make, to let the Rohingyas stay in a country and face constant political persecution, or encourage them to take the boat, to go into the sea without ever knowing if there's a chance for them to see land again. And if they see land, we don't know if they will be able to find a job. We don't know how long they have to stay on our land. We don't know if they'll ever be able to integrate and live a life that has the basic qualities. But I think then, what is the most dire need in front of our eyes is that we need to question, firstly, what do they want? Are they really looking for quality of life, or do they really just want simple survival? And I think at this point, just the fact that they can survive, the fact that there's a place for them to stay, have clean food, shelter, is good enough. And I think that's what we should stand for. So if we look at long-term solutions, obviously, we would agree, like, hopefully there would one day be a solution to the persecution of the Burmese government towards the Rohingyas. Maybe measures such as sanctions or condemnation, or maybe all these things one day can work. But the problem is, we really don't know when will it ever achieve anything. So in the meanwhile, while these Rohingyas are still constantly persecuted, what do we do? So Calvin argued that maybe we can use our funds and channel them to help these Rohingyas survive in Myanmar instead. But that's not really feasible because firstly, you can't give those funds to the Burmese government. Obviously, they're not the best actor to protect the Rohingyas. You can't give them to human rights group or activist organizations and expect them to protect the Rohingyas, because so long as these people are still living in a country where they face persecution, where they face the imminent threat of death, it's very, very difficult. Even if you have funds, it's difficult for these people to live a life without constantly worrying whether they will see tomorrow. So really, when we want to look at what we want to do, considering that Malaysia has the ability, we have the financial ability, we have the land space to take in these people, maybe the right thing to do now, I think it's good and I want to commend the Malaysian government to start the search and rescue mission. And I think considering that there are still so many of these Rohingyas out there, we can take more of them in and we can definitely create facilities or places to at least temporarily house them until there's a better solution, until we know where to send them, or until maybe we can even integrate them into our economy, into jobs that maybe the locals are very reluctant to do. Maybe they can even turn into assets for our country.
All right, and there you have it, folks. Who did you agree with and who do you think made valid points? Our thanks to our two speakers from the Malaysian Institute of Debating and Public Speaking. You can text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio to tell us who you think won that debate. You've been listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.